This time of year, it feels like things start to speed up. Suddenly, Christmas is here, and we are staring down a possibility of going into debt for the holidays. What do we do, Steve, when we want to make things memorable and special? And we want to give nice gifts to people, but then we start to overextend ourselves. We've got a problem.
Well, step one, we talk to Brad Graber. And we talk about how we can avoid falling into that trap, mm-hmm. Kelly. That's what we do. How about
that? He's here for us, man.
Yeah, he's
hey,
here for us.
Hello, guys.
Help.
No pressure
help
on me this morning, right? I got all the answers.
None whatsoever. In fact, we're just going to send you our Christmas list. You handle it and get back to us when you're done shopping.
There's the answer.
Yeah, okay. You're not going to do that. I know that. Hey, but seriously, Christmas is going to be here, Brad, and if we're not careful, we can not only blow the budget, and I've done this, we can end up in debt on top of it. So how do we avoid falling into that trap? Because Christmas is on the calendar. It's coming.
It is, and it's coming fast, and I know if we don't talk about it in October, it's typically too late by the time we actually do talk about it. So, Christmas can be a super stressful time for people, and it's unfortunate. You know, we're trying to celebrate the birth of Christ, and a lot of times we can get through Christmas and realize that it wasn't about Christ at all in the way that we handled it. So it is unfortunate. But, yeah, when it comes to how we're spending money, the first thing, it seems so basic, but we got to go into it with a budget. We got to know how much we can afford to spend, not necessarily how much we want to spend. So rather than creating that Christmas list and trying to figure out, okay, how do I get all these things? The first practical thing is figure out, okay, here's how much I have, and this is how much I can spend. And I would say only spend money that you have. So even though we're only a couple months out, that may limit what you're actually able to spend this Christmas. So then you may have to get a little more creative, as we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But make that commitment that you're not going to go into debt for Christmas, because Christmas gifts are not an absolute necessity. We don't have to spend a certain amount. It's not providing for our family. It's not putting food on the table necessarily. These are optional expenses. So we need to have that commitment that we're not going to strap ourselves for the first couple of months of the next year just to make Christmas hopefully more memorable by the amount of money that we spend. And it's so important to remember that love is not measured in the number of gifts that you give. There's ways to make Christmas special, to make it memorable, and not break the bank.
Well, Brad, you know, in workplace environments, right, there always seems to be a gift exchange, or even in large families. My wife and I, on her side of the family, it's ginormous. And there's just so many people to buy for, and you get wrapped up into these things, and it's part of the budget here. But how do we go through that? How do we negotiate and handle that pressure of gift exchanges at work and in family?
Yeah, and this can be really tricky because not everybody thinks the same way we do. So when you get a large group together, you got people on both sides of it. But remember, again, no matter which side you're on, there are people that don't feel the exact same way you do. So it's tough, and it's going to require some compromise. Best thing you can do is be part of the planning process and make sure that you're helping people think of both sides of that coin. When it comes to the office, a lot of times those things don't get crazy expensive, so those are normally not the ones that break the bank. What I typically see are those big families where things started off all well and good and had a good intention behind it. You know, my first niece, well, we're going to buy her a gift. And then next thing you know, you got 15 or 20 nieces and nephews, and you're trying to buy for every one of them because that's the way you started. Well, at some point, those traditions probably need to change. And being part of that discussion, part of that process, is a good way to go, because you don't want to be seen as the killer of fun at Christmas time. You just want to try to help be creative in the way that you're having fun and making sure it's staying relevant to the way the family is put together at that time. And I've heard some great examples, and it comes with, how are we going to have fun? Can we make a game out of it even? And just heard one this morning from my coworker of everybody going to the dollar store, and you buy gifts at the dollar store and even let kids buy them for adults. It's not going to cost you much. And the fun that you can have of seeing people go and be limited to a specific store and everything in there is going to cost a dollar. How can you be creative, and how can you think of something mm-hmm. that would be fun and actually even maybe meaningful out of there? White elephant gift exchanges are a lot of fun. And one thing that we did as well, when the family got big, rather than trying to buy for everybody, do a name draw where you put all the names in the hat and everybody draws out a name. And then you get to concentrate on one person, and you can, you actually get to know them better too. So if you spend time at it and want to make your gift meaningful, you get to know that person. You ask people around them about them. And so that person you may only see once or twice a year, now you're actually getting to know that person even better. So all of those things can help make it more meaningful. But one more thing I'm going to say is, if you're looking at something that needs to be changed, remember that change always happens easiest for the person that's in a position of power. So if you're the one that is strapped for money, it may be hard to go, it's a prideful thing, and it may be hard to be able to go and say, you know what, we need to cut back on this. It's hard to do. But the person that's not in that position can make that suggestion easier, and it's one of those ways of just loving our neighbor. So we're looking out for others that we may not be struggling, but maybe they are, and we need to just open our eyes to what could be caused by the traditions that we do have.
You know, one of the most fun Christmases, seriously, that I ever got to be part of, Brad, I was a teenager, and we did exactly what you were talking about. Everybody had a spending limit. You didn't draw names, but you went out and bought a gift that was suitable for either a male or a female. You wrapped it. Nobody knew. And then we played games where you got to choose what gift you wanted from the table. And we just had a ball. It was such a hoot. And nobody went into debt over that.
Those things can be a lot of fun.
Well, they are. And it engages conversation and you all laugh. But you talk about the Jesus model of three gifts each. Tell us more about that.
Well, this is something that we practice. We've heard other people doing this as well. This is not some great theological lesson of how many gifts people should have, but it was an easy explanation. Jesus got three gifts, and we were looking at how can we limit the number of gifts that we're giving to our kids so that they're not those kids that are getting so many gifts that they're tired of opening them by the end. That just completely defeats the joy and the celebration of Christmas. So we decided we're going to get them each three gifts. And you know, in some cases, we may put two or three things inside of one actual package, but they were only going to have three things to open. And it forced us to be more meaningful about the gifts that we were going to give them. And I've seen people even break it down into categories where maybe one gift is a fun gift, one is more of a practical gift, and then maybe they give them a game. So there's something for everybody to play together when it's over. But it's just a way to keep Christmas from getting too associated with stuff. And that's one of the reasons I like that.
Well, you know, Brad, we do that with our kids, too. We try to and make sure, and then it kind of allows you to also take into account the fact that there's going to be aunt gifts, there's going to be grandparent gifts and things like that, because you can easily overload a kid with way too much stuff, and then you end up having to buy another house, you got to move out, get a bigger place. It's just all downhill from there, so for the sake of some ideas for spending as little money as possible and not overextending ourselves, but still being able to make it memorable, that's one of the ways. But by the time Christmas 2018 comes and goes, some of us have this new resolve to save money for our 2019 budget. How is it, or how much is reasonable to deduct from our monthly income for this specific need?
And that's going to be different for every person. So this kind of goes back to the budgeting process. Having the discipline of saving and doing the planning, knowing where your money is currently going, is the starting point that everybody has to have. And make sure that we keep Christmas in its proper place. Because like I said, Christmas gifts are not a necessity. We need to make sure that we're paying our bills, that we're not going into debt, that everything else is being taken care of first. Then we look at, okay, how much discretionary money do we still have left, and how much of that do we want to assign to Christmas when December comes around next year? And once we have that figured out, then we're just working that plan. And when December rolls around, however much we were able to save is how much we have for that budget. And hopefully we're able to find out from this discussion and by practicing it this year that it doesn't take as much as we thought it did. And one thing I'll just remind everybody of, and I think this is one of the most important things, is try to remember to give yourself at Christmas time. Don't worry about giving stuff as much as, am I giving myself? Our kids in this generation are starved for attention. And so much time is being spent in a device, and they would love to have us. And how can we incorporate ourselves? And one of the great ideas I've heard, and this helps from a budget perspective, and it helps from just being able to do that, is the idea of even giving your kids a coupon book. And that coupon book can be redeemed for experiences with you. And the great thing about it is you're giving them something today that they can choose when they get you and get your attention, and it also spreads out your costs. So it doesn't all have to be purchased before December. You're giving them things that will go into 2019 and be spread out over time. So it helps from the budgeting side, and it also commits you to them and does it over a period of time, not just all at one specific time.
Those are great ideas, Brad. You know, a few years ago, I had some friends who needed to really watch their budget closely, and I love what they did. They talked with their entire family, and God has given us all gifts and talents of different sorts. And they each, according to how they had been gifted or talented, made something for family members. And it had to be low cost. It had to be kept under a certain amount of whatever you were going to make for that family member. And I've told my son, you know, God has gifted him. He's a writer. He's a musician. I said, son, write me a story. Write me a song. Just write me a letter. That is what means more to me than anything.
Yeah, and I think as a society, we've replaced meaning with money. Mm-hmm. And we feel like if we spend more, then that replaces the thought that we didn't put into it. And it's like writing. Sometimes the shortest thing is the hardest thing to write. Sometimes the cheap thing is the hardest gift to give, but the most meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brad, I know we're not very far away from an incredibly short period of time before Christmas comes up. I'm not sure what the days are until Christmas are right now. But I bet you it's coming up pretty close. It's coming up pretty fast, and we want to avoid being in debt. And all of these are really great tips that will help, I'm sure, all of us to not overstep our budgets, not break the bank, and put some discipline around what we're doing and put some more thought into the gifts that we do give.
Yeah. And let's not forget to keep Christ at the center of it all.
Yeah. 64 days, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yep,
64 days. Can you believe it? Well, Brad, folks can get in touch with you at investingintruth.com. They can also find us over at Steve Kelly. Man, I am messing up this morning.
We don't know who we are today, Brad.
I'm telling you, I don't know. You're going to be gone. It's just going to be a mess, Kelly. Investingintruth.com or go to kellyandsteve.org. Click on the resources tab. Finding a Biblical Financial Worldview with Brad Graber. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.